Lors de la pause musicale, on a entendu « Comme un sol » de « Ghostly Kisses » et « Rester en voyage » de Olivier Bellil. Plus tôt dans l'émission, on a entendu « Sirens of Jupiter » de « The Olympians ». Et un grand merci encore à Chloé Saint-Hilaire, à Cédric Dussault et à Catherine, nom de famille qui m'échappe. Désolé de Frappru et de Réclac. De leur attention justement sur la crise du logement qui va demeurer avec nous semblement en perpétuité. Restez à l'écoute de CKUT 90.3 FM et revenez lundi prochain pour En profondeur. Merci et à la semaine prochaine. He wants the facts. Oops, now he's telling me that the only one he wants is love. I'm no chance against her. Ain't gonna put the Jimmy twice. He just found that out. He wants the first. Live fast, die ugly. Live fast, die first. I came to conclusion that she likes competition. But you don't buy skills, jealousy don't pay bills. Pop pills, spill drinks, pass. Clock ticks, spend it fast. You live on petty money, I got this. You live on petty money, I got this. Oops, now he's telling me that the only one he wants is love. I'm no chance to give up.
What's up, everybody? I'm about to go live on Instagram in just about 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And here we are, live reporting to you live from the CKUT studio per usual. We are Monday. Let me lower the music a tiny bit so we can hear ourselves better. There we go. You're currently listening to I Might Have Been Queen by Tina Turner. It is a sad day. It is a sad week. It is a sad outcast for us. It's a sad year. Yeah. Tina Turner is dead. It's official. The queen, simply the best, the one and only, the queen of rock and roll has left. And as somebody that's been a Tina fan for so long, one thing about me, you know, my favorite catchphrase, but a lot of people might not know, but I became a huge, when I'm saying huge, I mean obsessed. When I say obsessed, I mean obsessed Tina Turner fan over the years. Let me pause the music so we don't go through the whole playlist. There we go. I became an obsessed Tina Turner fan around the age of perhaps 13 and 14. I'm not even going to get too much into details because there's certain things about Tina Turner's story, life story, career, and, you know, just testimony of life that I'm not going to be touching upon because I feel like we've touched upon those, you know, in the media. Hey, sad, in the media, online, everything. We've touched about Tina Turner's story for so many times, so often, for so many years, right? We know what were the years with Ike like. We know that. We've seen the movie. I've read the book, you know, for the ones at home, for the ones that are listening, the ones that are tuning in. You might have read the book, you might have not. If you haven't, I'm telling you, it's an amazing book to read. I, Tina. It had to come out, I think, in the late 80s. It was right before she did the movie with Angela Bassett. So, as I said, certain things about Tina Turner's life that I'm not going to be touching upon simply because I believe that there's more to life. I believe that Tina's life speaks for itself when it comes to how much one can accomplish, right? Before I get into the whole topic, because I'm, you know, getting ahead of myself, let me give you a little recap of my weekend. I had a very nice week. I had a very chill weekend, very chill week. I went to a restaurant for Nevada's birthday. Shout out to Nevada. If you saw the drawing that she did of me, Nevada is an amazing graphic designer, artist, you know, those artists that use the computers. I don't know how to call them, but she's amazing. And the picture, I'm going to be posting it soon, eventually. But happy belated to Nevada once again. But let's talk about the restaurant. Because, you know, I made the episode where I said Montreal, you know, need a scammer. Montreal, there's a scamming situation in this city. Montreal has always been a home to scammers. One thing about us, you know, in New York, they have the boosters. And Montreal, we have the scammers. All right, now. We went to this nice restaurant that I shall not name. All right, because I'm not trying to get into something with the owners. Because the food was good. The food was amazing. I might go back with the food. I might go back for the food. The only thing is with that restaurant, I'm telling you this because I'm telling you that. If you go to that restaurant, you know what? Let me just name it so we can all get on the same page. If you go to Calbee on Saint Laurent, honey, you better read the fine print. You better read the fine print. You better go on the website and read the fine print. Because there's one thing I'm realizing a lot in Montreal is simply because we have this culture of tipping. Right, this culture of tipping is very close to Montreal because you go to Europe, you go to the Middle East, you go to Africa, it's not a thing. People don't tip, right? It's not a thing, it's not in the culture. But being from Montreal, being in Quebec, we have the tipping culture down, right? It's part of the laws, it's part of the regulations. People that work in service industries are allowed their tips as they should, simply because we don't pay them the amount of money we should pay them. However, there needs to come to be a time when us customers, because, you know, one thing, I'm a customer as much as I'm a service person. Matter of fact, shout out to me, I just got a new job. Yes, 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 honey, I am a shampoo girl, beauty school dropout, and I'm not talking about grease. If you've seen the movie, but yes, I, as somebody that has worked in the service industry, I get it, I get it, I get it. But there needs to come a time where this situation, when it comes to the tips and the service jobs and every entry level, whatever, no, no, there needs to be a time where simply this issue gets, you know, resolved within. Because as a customer, we shouldn't have to pay for that. Let me give you a backstory. We are about 10, maybe 10 people at that table, right? The meal itself, because it's an all-you-can-eat situation. The situation itself is $45 each, makes it 50 almost with tips, blah, 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 right? 15% included because of the service. It's all in the fine print. Read the fine print. When I go to a restaurant, I like to go on the website. Why? I'm picky. I like to know what they're cooking, what they're going to be putting in my salad, what kind of sauce are they using for my pasta, what kind of spice are they going to be seasoning my meat with. All right, I'm picky. I like to know what I'm getting myself into. So when I went on the website, I checked, I saw, oh my God, they do a free meal if it's your birthday a week within the date. All right, so I thought, oh well, damn it, you know, my birthday was 2 weeks ago, I missed it. However, I kept that in mind because I knew since we're gonna go for Nevada's birthday, her dinner shall be free. So we get to the dinner, we're about 10 people, you know, so do the math, 10 times 50, everybody, a lot of people got drinks too. Long story short, we left the table with a bill around $500 to $600. You know, they refused to give Mother L her free meal because Mother L and Nevada were born within, you know, a few days apart. They refused to give Mother L her free meal simply because they said that little free meal for the birthday only works once on the table. I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that because that's not what I read. You know, I had to bring my little Karen. One thing about Miss Chris. All right. When I know I'm right, I like to be right. So I let it be known. So I pulled out my phone. I pointed right there. I said, you see, it says within the week, there's no such thing as to one per table. And they said, oh, yeah, it's just not on the website, but it's one of the rules. But then I said, well, how are we supposed to know that if it's not on the website? And this is exactly where I'm going to take it, what I said earlier, by all of these situations need to be resolved within the establishment. Because you can't tell me that you refuse to give somebody her free meal. It's her birthday. Give the lady her deserving free meal. So not only the establishment refuses to give somebody her free meal, that's okay. We move on. But what really kills me within the whole situation is, after we included a 25 tip on top of the whole order just to make sure all of the girls, you know, for the ones that couldn't afford a tip, they were really short on their bail and everything, we added a 25% on top of the whole situation to make sure tips would be covered. You know, the waiter came and chased some of us to make sure we gave him the $2 to $3 left on the tip. Because some of us gave him a $50 bill. I gave him a $50 bill. I needed to go to the bathroom so bad. I gave him a $50 bill. I said, listen, the bill is $45. I give you a $50. If it's more, if it's less, you know, you'll let me know. But I just need to go pee because this was taking too long. So I come out. And here he comes to me and my friend. Both of you gave me a $50. So that makes it, you know, there's like a little bit of money left. So I'm asking him, oh, okay, how much is left? You know, I'm expecting maybe $7, you know, $10 that I'm missing. Let me pay the poor man. $2. You refuse to give people their free meals. But then you want to argue for $2. Make it $4, because we're two people. You want to argue for $4. And that's one thing about Montreal. You go to a restaurant, it's the only place in the world where they'll come at you with rules and rules and rules and rules and new rules. And I'm, you know, I'm skipping through details of the story because there's points of the story where charges were added. But, you know, we're not about to argue over a meal. We already ate. We already drank. What are we going to do about it? Puke the food back? So we're not going to argue. You know, we just pay whatever they asked us to pay. But I find it to be quite disappointing because the food was amazing. But as I said, I might be back. I might not be back. I know, right? But if I do go back, let me tell you how I'm going to do about it. What I'm going to do about it. I'm going to go back, but I'm not paying. I'm getting somebody else to pay for me. That's what I'm going to do. Play your cards right. But anyways, that was not even my highlight of the weekend, but that was a really cute time because I got to see all my girls and my friends all together. It was really nice. But anyways, when it comes to this week, there's going to be the Outrageous Industry Friends. You better get your things together. Get on your demon behavior. Get your shit together. Get your hustle. Get your outfit on. It's about to be on the 2nd or the 3rd. I'll be posting about it very soon. I'm extremely excited. It's the great Outrageous return. Miss Monib and Miss Siggy are coming back as well from Jordan. My girls are back. I'm feeling happy. And it's going to be a good time. So see you there on Friday. Or the 3rd or the 2nd or the 3rd. I'll be posting about it eventually. You know, we're going to be busy. But back to the topic at hand. Miss Tina Turner. It's a sad day. It's a sad month. It's a sad year. Simply the Best, as she was called, as she once sang. You know, when I say that I'm not going to be touching upon certain details of Tina Turner's story, it's simply because Tina Turner is a great testimony of how you can start your life over at any time, at any given moment, and make it yours, right? When it comes to Miss Turner, if I'm going to go back to the Ike days, which I said I was not going to be touching upon too much because this is not the topic of today, but we do have to mention the Ike days when talking about Tina Turner because it is such a, sadly, it's such a key moment of her story, right? Emphasis on sadly. Miss Turner had to start over at the age of, in her mid-40s, early to mid-40s, she had to divorce and start over from Ike. Hey, baby. I love when people come in on the Zoom, on the live. But Miss Turner had to divorce and start her life over again with nothing but her last name. When she divorced Ike, it was a different time. All right, it was a different time. The court system was often not keen on women. It's still not really keen on women till this day. You can ask anybody that's been through sexual assault. The judicial system is not keen on victims. Because if it was the case, a lot of things would be going differently in the way, you know, and the way the court system is going. But I digress. So back in those days, I think it was around 72 that she divorced Ike, perhaps. 72 to 75. Back in those days, there were women had only so much on their side when it comes to fighting over men in the court system, right? So the only thing that Tina was awarded when she left Ike was her last name. She told the judge, the only thing I need to make something out of myself is my name. I can't get on the stage without a name. I have a name. I worked for that name. I brought that name fame. I brought that name over the world. And I deserve to keep that name. And the judge said, shall be it. So be it. If that's all you want, lady, then you can keep the name. For years, when Tina was trying to, you know, go back into the performing circus, she was in Vegas. Thank God she had friends in the industry. You know, she was very close friends with Cher. She did the Cher show a lot of times, especially after Sony was done. You know, after Cher and Sony were done, Cher fully took over and she really had her own thing going. And Tina came to the show several times. You know, her rendition of Shame, one of my favorite rendition of that song. And I like to joke around and say, you know, Miss Tina was out singing Miss Cher, because one, you know, and it's no shade. I love Cher, my sober sister. I love her, Cherkesian. I love Cher, but when you go see that video, if you're at home after the show, go type Cher featuring Tina, not even featuring, Cher and Tina Turner, all right? Shame, shame, shame. You'll see Miss Tina was performing her lungs out. Cher was singing her lungs out, honey. She was singing her lungs out so much, at some point I thought she was about to choke. But Miss Tina was out here holding strong, because Tina was a performer. When I think of Tina Turner and my personal history and personal relationship with her, I simply can't help but remember myself when I was maybe 13, 14 years old, right? Sec 2, Sec 3. And it was right around the time where I knew I wanted to be a performer. I knew I wanted to be an artist. I knew. So I started, you know, reading so many biographies and so many books on different artists, actors, singers, models, designers, you know, so many people that had left their mark in history. And Tina was one of them. I was lucky enough to get my hand on the version of I, Tina, the English version. I made sure to get the English version because I wanted her own words. Her own words. No translation. I wanted her own words on paper. Because one thing about Tina is people have told her story so many times over the years. In a very distasteful manner, might I add. We cannot talk about Tina Turner without talking about the disrespect that Tina Turner faced throughout her career. Tina Turner, when it comes to the black community, it's, you know, often a very touchy subject, which I never fully understood why. And you might blame, you know, I might be able to blame this on the fact that I'm young. You know, I'm only 25 years old. What do I fully know about Tina's history? The people that knew Tina from the days of Ike knew Tina from the days since the beginning. So a lot of people have, you know, different feelings and different sentiments when it comes to the whole Tina Turner saga and legacy. Depending on who you ask, Tina Turner was a selfish individual that abandoned Ike's children, left her community, moved to Europe, made music with white people, married a white man, and made a new life for herself and forgot her people. That's one side of the story. And you remember when I said distasteful? Well, keep that in mind. One side of the story, a distasteful one, might I add. Because even though I wasn't alive back then to know, to witness, everything that went down with Tina, everything that went down with Ike, all I have is the book, the amazing movie with Angela Bassett, and whatever history, you know, whatever recollection of history we have on the internet. But I'm telling you this one thing. From the second I finished Tina Turner's book, I understood one thing. Tina chose herself. When she realized that her life with Ike was probably not going to lead anywhere further in terms of she might not make it out alive, she chose herself. When she knew she couldn't run away with all those kids, all her kids at once, what did she do? She made sure to save herself before so she could save her children. Tina Turner had to choose herself. She wasn't given the option. A lot of people in the industry when working with Ike and Tina were extremely afraid of Ike. They were extremely afraid of his temper. Even though they wanted nothing to do with Ike to a certain point. The thing about Ike and Tina, you have to understand that past A Fool in Love, past Shaka Telfeder, I think Shaka Telfeder, that had to come out in 1966, was probably one of their last really great hits together, outside of Proud Mary, of course. But even Proud Mary, when you think of it, Ike was not involved in Proud Mary. Often you would see Ike on stage performing Proud Mary with Tina, you know, on the bass, on the guitar, on the piano, on instruments and stuff. But technically, Ike was not involved in the creation of Proud Mary. One might say that this is one of the first instances where we saw Tina Turner choose herself. Looking back, 1972 when Proud Mary came out. 1970, my apologies. River Mountain High right after. Tina Turner is somebody that had to fight for everything that was given to her. But when I think of Tina Turner, as I said, I don't want to, you know, dive too much into the fighting. And when I say fighting, I mean her fighting for her legacy. I don't want to dive too much into that part of her life. The only type of fighting I want to talk about is fighting the expectations. Because Tina Turner was not only somebody that had to choose herself. Tina Turner chose her path. She chose her future. She chose how her story was going to be told and how it was going to be ending, if anything. When she left Ike and started her career on her own, she was already in her late 30s, mid, early 40s. A lot of people, you know, they wouldn't have bet on Tina even if they had $5 left. A lot of people had no belief that Tina Turner could make it any further. They thought she was done for, spoken for, done, sealed, and delivered. They said, what the hell is this 40-something-year-old black lady talking about, wanting to talk about rock and roll with Mick Jagger? Girl, if you don't go back to Ike, is what a lot of people felt like. But she held strong, and she never let her age be a determining factor in whether or not she was going to have a further career in rock and roll. When I think of Tina Turner and the second part of her life, her second career, right? The Tina years, the big wigs and the red lipstick and the good legs walking down York City. When I think of those years of Tina, I think of somebody that had to defy the odds. I think of somebody that said, I am only as old as I decide I feel I am. And my story only ends when I decide it will. And a lot of people think, you know, a lot of people don't seem to understand how she got there. She had faith. A lot of people don't know that Tina Turner was a deeply religious Buddhist. The girl believed in Buddha. The girl believed in the teachings of Buddha. The girl gave her life to that faith. And this is what kept her from going deeper and deeper and deeper and sinking. When I think of Tina and how much she gave to faith, I also think of myself when I started reading her book, right? I started reading the I, Tina book at a very defining time of my life. Once again, 13, 14, these are the years where, you know, you really start having a sense of self. Your teenage years are really when you start discovering who you are and who you want to be as a person. When I started reading I, Tina, I remember being able to relate so much, and I don't want to get too much into details because that's my personal life, but as somebody that grew up Haitian, you know, in a Haitian culture, we like to discipline the kids, you know, with sadly more often than not violent corrections, bodily corrections. And I'll never forget, it was a very complicated time in my life, and I remember I was acting up in school. I remember acting up real bad. You know, you need a sense of self. But my mother was not keen on helping me finding my sense of self in that way. And I remember that year, 14 years of age, being one of the last times, I think, where my mother really, or one of the times I remember the most vividly, where she inflicted on me such bodily corrections that really, you know, left scars on my body for a few months to go. And I remember when I read I, Tina, I realized, I said, Tina also had to choose herself. Now, I might have not been in a position to leave my mother's house at 14 years old. And there's definitely no such thing as divorcing your parents. I mean, there is getting emancipated, but who's getting emancipated? I always tell you guys, play your cards, right? I was in no position to be an adult or legally declared adult. But in the eyes of the law at 14 years old, I was not ready yet. But I knew I had to get ready, just like Tina. Because Tina didn't just, you know, she... I'm at a point where I really don't even have the words because... And I'm really taking my time to feel it because, as I said, I had a deep relationship you know, everybody feels like they have a relationship with celebrity. But I always had a deep relationship with Tina in my head. I used to stay in high school. And if you go on Tout Fifle Matin, the podcast I did a few months ago, right, I was part of, I said, I have one saying. I believe in two things, God and Tina Turner. And that is something I started saying at the age of 13 years old. I believe in God and Tina Turner. If it wasn't for me reading iTeen, I probably wouldn't be sitting here right now. I probably would have still followed what path my mother thought she had for me. I would have probably still been living at my mother's house, God forbid, getting beat up for not, you know, going by her rules. But I knew there was something better going there. I knew there was something better along the lines, along the way. Simply because looking at Tina, and she found that better thing. And I'm only 25 now, you know. There's only so much I can think of when it comes to what do I know about the future? What do I know that my life is going to be like? You know, I'm the one to think that when it comes to life and death, there's two things. There's only one thing that we know, is that we don't know when it's going to end or when it's going to come. All right? I don't know when I'm going to die. I really don't. I would love, would I love to know? Kind of. Would make my life a bit easier, you know? But should I know? No. Because by not knowing and by following my gut and following my true happiness and the pursuit of happiness is the only way I know I'm living life right. Because even if I was to die, God forbid, tomorrow morning on my way to work, maybe it was time. But at least I'll die knowing that I spent 25 years of my life in constant pursuit of happiness. Going further and further and pushing further and further and further. Because just like Tina did, had Tina believed everything that people were telling her back then, that she was too old, her time had passed, her prime had gone, you know, she was a has-been by then. Had she believed those things, I wouldn't be here talking about a second career for Tina Turner right now. I'm looking at my phone right now. The live might have been going down because I see that Sayana is calling me. I think she might have forgot that I have the show on Mondays. Let me... Oh. There we go. And we are back in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Here we are. So when it comes to Tina Turner, right? Now that I have my thoughts, I'm back in myself. Because as I said, it's a very touchy topic. And it's a very emotional one for me as somebody that really has love, deep, deep, deep love and respect for Tina Turner. But it really made me think. And there we go, back in life. It really made me think, right? Because, zooming a bit, here we are. Perfect. So as somebody that... I'm sorry, everybody at home. I'm really just trying to get my best angle on that camera. I'm trying to do it right by you guys, you know. And I heard that you guys also really love this Instagram Live feature that I'm adding to the Ask Miss Chris on Core show. I like it too. It's forcing me to come here presentable. All right, it's forcing me to put on a face when I come in the studio. Because for a whole year, I was coming in the studio, I was coming on the radio show, looking every bit of crazy, looking every bit of wild. Or just like I was watching America's Horror Story last week, or yesterday actually, and the character said looking like everything that the cat dragged in. That's what I was looking like. But now having the camera facing me and me looking at the camera is making me put on a face. And you know what, let me come closer to the camera so I can show you the face today. Back to the topic. So when it comes to Tina Turner, right? Something that I find amazing is how she was able to really create her own life. Starting in her 40s. Because as I said earlier, life to me, I see life as a constant pursuit of happiness. I don't see happiness as a race. I am in no rush to get to happiness. Simply because I have no idea when that happiness will be and how far that happiness can take me. Because for example, if you go if you live your life thinking, the only thing I want to do, right, is, I don't know, to get my this diploma and cosmetic, and, you know, you want to get a diploma in a certain field, you get that diploma, you're 30 now, all right, you're working in your field, fast forward to 10 years, now you're 40, is that all you wanted to accomplish in your life, that one diploma, that one career, there's nothing else you wanted to do? Having this mindset, this mentality can only bring nothing but despair and burnout, and at some point, you know, that quote-unquote midlife crisis that people have. Because what I find so interesting with Tina Turner is that her midlife crisis was not brought upon by her, but it was brought upon by the world. The world made her feel old. The world made her feel like she was past her prime. Tina always said she never felt old. She loved performing. When she got on that stage, she loved every single minute of it, from the moment she was 18 to 20, I think, when 16 even, when she met Ike, all the way to her 40s when she was starting on her own. As somebody that sees life as a constant pursuit of happiness, the way I see it, I have no idea, you know, as an artist, I don't even know if I'm actually going to find happiness and success within radio. I don't know. This might be a 5-year thing that's not going to lead anywhere, really. I don't think so. It would be highly unlikely to me. But who knows? God only knows. When I think of acting, same thing. I was having this conversation with Miss Amal recently. People that work within the arts and media industry as producers, as people that are behind the cameras, you're more often, most likely than not, will be getting some type of constant, you know, workflow. But as me, somebody that's most likely more often than not in front of the camera, I can only go as much as people hire me. Because I can only go as much as people want to see me on screen. That's the difference. Because when I'm behind the camera, I could go forever. But thank God I have other dreams. Radio is one of them. Acting is one of them. Modeling is one of them. Hell, I'd love to open a school for young T-girls and feminine presenting people, queer people in the future. Some type of like Miss Roby show, a special academy for exceptional young girls. You know, where the girls can learn about how to really take care of themselves, groom themselves, present themselves in society, find the true beauty within themselves. That's what I'd like to bring in the world. So many things I'd like to do. And I know, now that I'm 25, that I might be able to do those things in 20 years only. I might be able to do them in 10 years, or maybe even better, 5. But the only thing I know for sure is that if I tell myself that I'm too old for certain things, that I'm too old for a certain career path, that I'm too old for a change of plans, then I'm not going to go anywhere. If I'm to look up a list, right, of people that got to the success that they have in life, later in life, right? There's Tina Turner, of course. But I also think of Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford was what? 35, 40 to 40 when he became Indiana Jones? He was a carpenter. That nigga was chopping wood before getting to Hollywood. If we stay under Ford, Henry Ford from the, you know, Revolutionary Ford cars, an awful man, a crazy awful man. However, he only created his first Model T car at the age of 45. Vera Wang did not design her first, and by the way, I love Vera Wang. I myself have a nice little cardigan, very tight fitted cardigan, kind of like a mustard and golden situation. It's very nice. You've seen it on me a few times. I've worn it in the past. But Miss Vera Wang only designed her first dress when she was 40 years old. 30 years later, in her 70s, she is one of the highest and one of the most sought after designers in the world. This culture that we have that is obsessed with youth and making it at a young age is definitely more damaging than anything. In a way, right? In a way, I love it. Because when I think of what that culture does to me personally, because what do I always tell you guys? I can only speak for myself. And when I think of what that culture of youth and obsession with youth does to me, I think of how when I was 18 years old, and I finally left my mother's house, right? Because it was a pretty abusive environment. I told myself, I said, you know what? Bridget Bardot made it at 22 years old. So if I, at 22 years old, I'll either make it or die. Fast forward, knock. My God, people are slamming them doors in the studio, honey. CKUT, what's going on? Mash up the place. Sorry, everybody, for the noise at home. But anyways, I remember thinking, if I don't make it at 22 like Brigitte, what am I going to do? There's nothing else. I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to become, I don't know, a hairstylist or a makeup artist or something. And look at me now. I'm 25 years old. Thank God. God forbid. God willing, I'm still breathing. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah, I'm still breathing. With this mindset that I had at 18, God knows what I would have achieved by now. I mean, to be fair, I did everything I could to make sure I was going to quote-unquote make it by 22. And if I'm to look back at 22, I'm extremely happy with everything that I've done. I started Ask Miss Chris after 22, so I can't count that. I started the TV show after 22, so I can't count it either. But what did I do at 22, right? In our situation, different. There was a pandemic. Yes, the pandemic came and slowed everything down for everybody. But that doesn't mean that you are a failure because you're not where you thought you would be or where somebody was at a certain age. Tina Turner was the performer that had the highest attendance. And was it in Brazil? Yes, Rio. In the 80s. 180,000 people at the time. She was in her mid-40s. But at the same time, she had an amazing career in her mid-20s. But at what cost was that career in the mid-20s? Christina always said, when it comes to the music she did before the change and the divorce, she doesn't even look back at that music to her, it's something else. But the music that she's the most proud of is the one that she did in her later years. And if I go outside of her later years, Tina Turner also found love. You know, a lot of us think that, oh, we need to find love in order to start a family. No. You can technically start a family at any age. And the statistic shows that the older you start your family, the better chances you have to be financially stable. And that goes to show, it makes sense when you think of it. Starting a family, getting married, starting a family at 21, what do you know about life? Why are you even settled in your job? I know currently at 25, I am in no position to start a family. I am in no position to even get married. I mean, you know, I always said I'd like to get married more than once simply because I love a wedding so much. I already planned three wedding outfits in advance, honey. The first two ones would be dresses, and the second one or the third one might have been a suit, like an Yves Saint Laurent, a safari suit, you know. But I digress. White, of course, but I digress. Tina Turner's life is a constant testimony of how you are the true master of your storyline. Age is nothing but a number. I'm going to take a tiny break because I'm feeling very emotional. I might even cut the camera because I'm, not to say that I'm feeling a bit of tears, but it's a very, rest in peace, Tina. I might have been queen.
I'm searching for a
back. There we go. But yeah, Miss Tina Turner, the one and only. I decided to cut the live because, I just needed a moment. And also those damn... There we go. Oh, damn. Not me cursing on air. But yeah, I think I'm gonna... If anybody at home wants to also share something, 514-448-4013. I think when it comes to Miss Tina Turner, I'm gonna... Because one thing, if you guys have realized also, you know, I haven't posted anything about it. I've still been processing. I knew Tina was sick. As somebody, once again, I'm a huge Tina Turner fan. I've been keeping up with Tina Turner ever since I can remember. Tina Turner is one of the few celebrities when it comes to, I say few celebrities. Yeah, few celebrities that I still follow on Instagram. I mean, her official page. Tina Turner lived a life. She lived a life that really showed all of us what the meaning of temperament and sense of self really meant. So I'm at a loss of word, and I, for once in my life, but I think I'm going to leave it at that for today. We're going to be playing some Tina Turner music all day. And as I said, if you have something to tell me, 514-448-4013. All right. If I feel like coming back on air, I'll come back. But in the meantime, Private Dancer.
These places, and the men are all the same. You don't look at their faces, and you don't ask their names. You don't think of them as human. You don't think of them at all. You keep your mind on the money, keeping your eyes on the wall. I'm your private dancer, a dancer for money. Do what you want me to do. I'm your private dancer, a dancer for money. And any old music will do. I wanna make $1 million. I wanna live out by the sea. A husband and some children. Yeah, I guess I want a family. All the men come in these places, and the men are all the same. You don't look at their faces, and you don't ask their name. I'm your private dancer, a dancer for money. I'll do what you want. Dancer for money, and any old music will do. I'm your private dancer, dancer for money. I'll do what you want me to do. Just a private dancer, a dancer for money, and any old music will do. Dutch marks are dollars. American Express will do nicely.
So this is going to be my last song for tonight. I'm going to leave you guys with We Don't Need Another Hero. Hero, my apologies, from the Mad Max movie. One of my favorite songs by Tina. It's always love. Rest in peace, Queen. Simply the best.
I'll never know.
day is coming. All else are cats building the air.
Telling you guys next week's topic. We're going to be talking about racism within the cosplay community. I'm extremely excited. I don't know much about cosplay, but one thing about me, I like learning, and I'm nosy, so I have two guests that are going to tell us everything we need to know. Tune in, it's going to be a good one. And once again, simply the best. Rest in peace, Miss Tina. I love you.